This is Tall Tale TV, your podcast for sci-fi and fantasy short stories. This story has multiple parts. To listen to the entire story in one place, visit talltaletv.com/series. An Interlude of Intrigue, A Tale of Three Kings, by Leslie Herron. Chapter 10, Sforzando.
Gods, goddesses, creation myths. They are all just stories we are told to believe with no proof. An act of faith in the truest sense of the word. Beren always believed my father when he said those of the Folkgrave blood could trace their lineage back to the first of Tiara's creations, birthed from her own flesh and blood. I, being of a more analytical nature, harbored doubts. I could not believe what I could not see. It was just another story to control the unintelligent, that elves were the first creations of the righteous sun serpent Tiara, and humans were the original spawn of the vile horned doe Ravaria. Of course we hated each other. The priest demanded it. It was propaganda of the highest caliber. So, imagine my surprise as I was marched through the inky swamps of the Dredgelands, a forbidden and holy area, to see the skull of a deer rise from the gloom like an ancient ivory tower. It was there that I met the divine warriors of Tiara, the undying wicker witches who had fought by her side in the great battle countless centuries ago. It was there that I found my proof, my faith, and my purpose. A twisted hand of bone and vines dove into the black muck of a swamp.
A root? Or perhaps another snail? No, no, you're wrong.
The searching digits clutched around something and yanked upwards, splattering mud for several yards. The witch's composite body of random animal remains and ancient branches creaked and snapped like an old tree in the wind as she rose to her towering full height.
See? I told you something better.
The creature turned her prize over in her palm, a tiny mushroom. The blue lights of her eyes burned inquisitively behind the empty sockets of the swamp croc skull that had replaced her own crumbling face in ages past.
What dark powers do you hold, little one?
Whisper, your pet has returned.
The witch spun, her body giving a mighty snap. General Sonance, matron and head of their order, was leading several fleshlings into her shallow pond.
My pet!
She looked to the side, casting an accusatory glance at some invisible entity.
One of yours? Winded?
Her head snapped back.
Ah, the small, angry one. Good, good.
With a flick, she tossed the mushroom back into the inky depths and made to walk towards them. She only took two steps before she halted, her head cocking towards the ground with a sound like a gunshot.
A root? Or perhaps another snail? No!
The general studied the figure, who began rooting around in the muck for several long moments. She heaved a heavy sigh and motioned down to her feet, where a single, tiny, green goblin stood, wearing a grin full of sharp teeth on her face.
She has brought guests as well.
Madam Whisper fell to her hands and knees and pushed her face to within near inches of the mud, searching. There was a small shake of her own head before the general returned her attention to the little creature.
She is not well.
She lowered her hands to her side.
You are welcome to stay. Perhaps you can make sense of her babbling.
It wasn't until the general had departed their presence that Undine exhaled in what felt like the first time since they had arrived. Her heart was hammering against her chest, and she trembled inside like a scolded child. She pried her wide eyes away from the living myth and turned her gaze on the goblin.
You said you had a way to help Elias?
She gestured with a nod of her head.
Instead, you bring us to the Life Wardens!
Sabine, hardly paying attention to anything other than the figure laying in the mud, flicked her fingers, shushing the dryad as she moved forward.
Relax.
Undine hissed through clenched teeth at the man in her arms.
My king, we must go. Asking a boon of these holy creatures is tantamount to beseeching the goddess herself. It is sacrilege.
Ha!
Sabine pulled a mocking face before gesturing to the portion of the giant deer skull still visible through the low-lying fog.
Sacrilege? Who cares? The gods are dead, and these witches only concern themselves with their swamp. What's the worst that could happen?
Pain still coursed through Elias's every fiber, and it was exhausting enough to have been carried through the swamps like a child. But he couldn't leave now. Not with his people still in danger. He gave a slight shake of his head and instantly regretted it. He grunted in agony as he replied,
Undine, I understand what you are saying.
He closed his eyes against a throb in his temple.
But these are desperate times. Perhaps beseeching the goddess is what I must do.
My liege, we...
No! We shall at least see what the witch has to offer.
Elias held back the snarl from his lips.
Please, set me on my feet. I wish to stand before her, at least.
Another toothy grin filled Sabine's face, and she returned her attention to Madame Whisper. No longer digging through the mud, she was standing and staring off into the trees. Her massive reptile skull head was cocked to one side, intently focusing on nothing. With several snaps of her fingers, Sabine attempted to grab the witch's attention.
Hey, Twigface! I brought someone to see you.
Twigface?
Undine nearly dropped Elias the rest of the way in shock. Madame Whisper shook away her thoughts and looked down.
What's this? Sabine, vile toad.
Her voice was like a crack of a whip in the still of the swamps.
You brought me snacks?
She turned a hungry gaze upon the others.
Thank you, my friend. They shall sing songs of your generosity.
Elias trembled as he stared up into the empty eye sockets and the blue light that flickered just behind. She towered over him. The amalgamation of bone and wood that made up her body was lashed together with rotting vines and hidden beneath moldy linen vestments. The gold filigree and findings were tarnished with age, and the hem of her robes were stained black from the swamps. Branches were arranged behind her swamp croc skull to create an eerie Medici collar that granted her an air of regal importance. He resisted the urge to flee when her long, bony fingers reached out and touched his face.
No, no, they're not for eating.
Sabine tapped her cane against the witch's leg as she moved between them.
They're here for what we spoke of last time.
She gave a knowing nod of her head.
We spoke?
Madame Whisper didn't turn to face the goblin, but instead reached out and ran a finger along Undine's horns.
Yes. No, you two spoke, not me.
She brushed her hand down into the dryad's hair and caressed it gently. Undine felt fear settling into her trembling legs as she watched the blue light behind the witch's skull flare to life, burning too bright to look at. With a voice darker and deeper than her own, Madam Whisper belted out,
"Yes, yes, she is perfect. She is strong."
Abject terror flooded her senses, but her feet were numb and heavy. Undine couldn't run, couldn't flee the swamps. She was forced to remain before the witch, only able to avert her eyes from the mad demigod.
"No, not her, the elf."
Sabine gave an aggravated sigh.
"Gah, it's like talking to a gnoll."
Madam Whisper withdrew her fingers from the dryad with the speed of one pulling their hand from a fire. She gave an audible grunt as she turned to the young elfling being supported by the female. He was battered and bruised, dressed up in gauze and bandages. Several lengths of fabric were wrapped around his head, and she leaned in, giving him a sniff.
"No, no! Why would it be him? This one will not do."
She clutched his face tightly, forcing his head to the side before probing the wound on his skull. Over the cries of agony, she turned back to her goblin friend.
"He is broken."
Sabine grunted.
"Broken is good. Broken means you can rebuild something however you want."
She chuckled to herself as the witch released the screaming elfling to consider those words. Taking several retreating steps back, Undine hauled the king with her. She set him down in the muck, propping him against a fallen log. She gave him a once-over, noting the pained look on his face.
"Sire, I really must protest this course. The witches are known to dabble in not just life magics, but dark ones as well. Whatever power she would bestow upon you would surely come with a steep price."
Elias pushed his forehead into his hands. The madam's prying fingers had sent agony and pain rippling through his very body. His head felt like it would explode, and the dryad's voice was grating against his ears. He pushed her away and slumped into the inky waters of the swamp. Despite its warmth, it brought him no relief.
"I don't care. I'm tired of your concerns, Undine. My country is set upon by the human nations. If it will save my people, I will gladly pay any price."
The witch spun.
"Humans? They still exist?"
She cocked her head.
"Of course they do. I make things to last."
She glanced at the mud once more.
"A root? Or perhaps another snail?"
Sabine laced her fingers atop her cane.
"Speaking of humans, this one here is half human, half elf. A Folkgrave, to be precise."
Madam Whisper froze, her head slowly rotating towards Elias.
"A vessel for a seed, a broken pot. Yes, he will do."
Undine moved to stand between her king and the witch, facing him with pleading eyes.
"She is obviously deranged. You are not well. What if the cost for power is your life?"
Dropping his hands, Elias whipped his attention towards the dryad.
"Then so be it. I was made a fool of, and I will return the favor tenfold. Stop your mothering and behave like the guardian you're instructed to be."
Undine bit back on her retort. He was getting worse. In the days since his injury, the king had become waspish and temperamental. His patience was short, and he would flare up at the simplest of problems, meeting them with anger rather than reason. She had seen head wounds cause similar changes in soldiers before. Tempered men and women reduced to brutes. Some recovered, while others... Elias sucked in a deep breath of the coppery air and closed his eyes.
I'm sorry. I know you have your concerns, but I have nothing left to lose. If it will save my people, I will do it.
His face contorted with emotions as he looked back over at his guardian.
I want you...
He swallowed his trepidation.
I want you to find my wife.
What? Your Majesty, no. I will not leave your side.
He winced at her sharp words and forced the rising anger away.
I will likely not survive what is to come, and I will not drag you down with me again. I want...
Elias paused, pushing his hands down into the mud, and, with great pain, forced himself to his feet.
No, I need you to find my wife and protect her.
Undine followed suit, her hands outstretched to catch him should he fall.
Please, do not send me away, my king. We must stick together if we are to save your country.
The key to that is with Pyra. Even if I manage to survive whatever powers this witch grants me, I will likely meet my end on the battlefield, just as my father did, and his father before him. But my wife will need your protection from those outside the castle just as much from those within it.
Elias swayed on the spot, his head giving another painful throb. Undine didn't move as she warred with herself.
That is an order. Now go.
Duty bound to the rule of the Folkgrave line, Undine snarled. She gave her surroundings a sharp glance before she begrudgingly agreed to follow his authority.
Your Majesty?
She offered him a curt bow before she spun on the spot, plunging into the swamp's maze once more.
You made the right choice.
Despite her need for a walking cane, Sabine deftly navigated the rocks and inky waters of the swamp to move before the king. Elias watched the trees until he could no longer see his guardian's red armor. He turned to the goblin standing by his legs.
Was she right? Is the witch mad?
There was a long pause before Sabine chuckled.
Oh yeah, absolutely nutters. But trust me, she's legit.
Madam Whisper reached out, her bony fingers grasping at the tiny elfling's chin.
Except it needs permission.
By the strong grasp of the witch, Elias was guided to a relatively solid patch of grass, and he felt his nausea leave him at last. Despite the assurance in his words with the dryad, he felt panic flood his senses. But he had made this choice, and he would accept it, regardless of his emotions. He looked into the fiery blue eye sockets and nodded.
I am ready.
All right, kid. This is where I leave you.
Elias shot the goblin a panicked glance.
Wait, you're leaving?
Sabine shook her head.
I don't want to get caught up in whatever nonsense is about to happen.
She took a step back.
If you survive this, you better remember our deal, or I'll put a bounty on your head.
She barked a laugh and drew a pipe from her robes.
Good luck, Your Majesty. Have fun storming Fort Ironhill.
As the cackling laughter faded away, Elias was wrenched from his thoughts as bony fingers ripped the linen shirt from his body.
What are you...
Don't scream.
Madam Whisper pushed the tip of her finger into the soft flesh of the Elf King's skin. With a squeal of delight, she began tracing a sigil into his chest.
We don't like such noises.
Pain erupted like a wellspring, and Elias shrieked. He wanted to collapse in agony, to black out into the mud, but he found he was unable to move. His body was rigid and suspended several inches above the water. The witch slapped him.
"Don't scream!"
Fear and panic overrode the pain as Elias looked down to see the witch carving something into his chest, blood oozing from the tracks. Old, ancient, and cryptic symbols were encircled in a crude wreath of branches.
"Yes, yes, this will do."
Madam Whisper pulled her fingers away, observing her work with a tilt of her head. The blue flame flared to life once more, and she let out a cackle.
"That is a good idea. Why didn't I think of that?"
She let out a shrill noise to the expanse of the swamp around her, like the bellowing of a great bird. Sure he would bleed to death before the witch finished, Elias pulled his attention away from the wound on his chest to see something had answered the madam's call. A large creature, like a misshapen centaur, ambled from the trees, its hooves never sinking below the water. Its body was comprised of the tar that surrounded them. While his father had told him stories of the life wardens and their muses, he never imagined to capture the true horror of it all. These lost souls had become the ever-faithful servants of the witches and were chosen to help them ferry the dead onto their afterlives until they themselves were fulfilled. Many of the muses Elias had seen on the journey in were singular creatures or vaguely humanoid forms. But as he gazed upon the beast before him, he realized this was something eerie. It had the lower body of a horse, or maybe a deer, and where the neck and shoulders should have been was the torso, shoulders, and head of a man. Vines and moss were entangled in the large antlers that adorned the beast's head, but there were no eyes or mouth. There was, however, a human skull jutting out of the creature's chest, as though it didn't know where else to place it. The grinning visage sent more than just a ripple of fear throughout him.
"What is that?"
Madam Whisper cooed and stroked its featureless face.
"A shade. He is the first revenant. The Alpha Spirit."
She let out a noise of glee.
"A body with no mind. Power with no direction."
The witch ripped back her vestments, exposing her own twisted mass of a chest. She grasped a large object where her heart would have been and ripped it free. A seed, so black it sucked the very light out of the space around it.
"But a body with no mind needs a mind with no body."
Elias recoiled from the object, some primal instinct driving him away. He pulled against his invisible bindings, trying to distance himself.
"What body? What are you doing? What is that thing?"
The witch drew closer, her voice becoming more lucid than it had been before.
"The mind of a powerful soul, kept separate from its shade, lest it fester and seek revenge, much like yourself."
She raised the seed up, then plunged it into the center of the sigil in Elias's chest. He felt the object sink into his body, shattering his sternum and rupturing his lung. He tried to cry out, but only spouted a wet spray of blood.
"You want power? I shall make you one with Alpha and entwine your souls together."
Despite his efforts to coax any strength from his body, he was unable to shift at all. He couldn't avoid the muse as it approached him and reached out with one gooey hand. It pressed it against the seed still protruding from his chest. All pain ceased instantly, replaced by a sensation of building pressure. Elias could feel something rushing into his body, straining him at the seams like an overfilled water skin. He could feel the raw power of it, like a force of nature unto itself. Discordant images and thoughts coursed through his consciousness, like ephemeral grains of sand in a storm. Memories, concepts, and understanding of things beyond the veil of reality were presented to his mind's eye, only to be gone a moment later. Thousands of colors, people, unknown places, and creatures rushed before him. It was all too much. He was going to explode. Blood was leaking from his eyes, his nose, and his ears. But he couldn't control himself any longer. He screamed and wailed in agony as the pressure reached a peak.
Tsk, tsk. Nearly complete.
Madam Whisper reached out with her bony fingers and yanked away what was left of the revenant by its neck, tossing it to the ground behind her.
A pity.
She turned back to the elfling and snapped her fingers, watching the little king collapse to the ground. At last, he felt the maelstrom inside coalesce, and a shockwave of force erupted out of him in all directions like a microburst of wind.
You survived, and are now whole, fused with the power of a revenant.
Elias scrabbled to his hands and knees. The remains of Alpha lay crumpled on the ground, emaciated, wasted away, and barely moving. But he could sense it, like sensing a part of himself. It wasn't until he was sitting back on his heels that he noticed the seed was no longer protruding from his chest. He pressed his fingers against his flesh, feeling around for any sign of damage. But not even a scar had remained from the sigil. Only a small, pulsing circle of purple energy beneath his skin.
The seed will grant you control over the revenant's power. Trust in its ability, and no army will stand in your way.
He had so many questions he wanted to ask, so many curiosities nagging at his mind like insects. It was in that moment he noticed his head no longer ached. It felt odd, healed but different, almost like a missing piece of himself had been bricked over, repairing the damage but not restoring it as it had been. A flash of light illuminated the pond, and General Sonance appeared before them.
Whisper, we felt a ripple. Is all well?
The bedraggled witch turned to her leader.
All is as it should be.
Curious, Sonance thought. A complete sentence devoid of madness? But the moment evaporated when she cast her gaze down to the hole in Whisper's chest. Understanding flooded her as her attention snapped towards the fleshling standing over the crumpled remains of the first shade.
What have you done?
As the matron moved towards the elfling, Whisper reached out, grabbing the Life Warden by the throat with both hands.
Go, little king. Use this power to bring the world to its knees.
Elias stumbled backwards, watching the two demigods struggle against one another.
What of the cost? What debt do I owe in return?
It has already been paid. Now go!
As the tiny king fled into the swamp, General Sonance flung Madam Whisper off her and into the mud.
Where is the dark seed?
The witch rose out of the muck.
The elfling has it. Half human, half Folkgrave, son of two goddesses.
The general turned in the direction the man had fled.
Your madness will doom us all.
The creature tilted back her head and let forth a bellow like a cry of some titanic beast, the sound carrying for miles. Muses rose from their watery slumbers in slow pursuit. Another shrill cry sounded in alarm to the other members of the clan.
You will be punished for this, Whisper.
Further words or cries for help were silenced as Madam Whisper's bony fingers pushed beneath the general's deer skull to wrap around the blue light inside. With little effort, she wrenched Sonance's soul free from her husk body.
I shall be a slave to that beast, nor you any longer.
An eruption of blue light preceded the appearance of the remaining council as they answered the call of their leader one by one. Different skulls peered down at her as the muses rallied around their feet. With a grunt of anguish, Madam Whisper tore the soul asunder, snuffing the life force out of their once great leader before leveling a baleful gaze at her sisters.
Ravaria's seed has been reunited with her soul. May she be reborn and cleanse this world of you all.
An Interlude of Intrigue, A Tale of Three Kings, is book 3.5 by Leslie Herron, a short novella to set the stage for the upcoming book 4 of the series. If you would like to listen to the first three books, please be sure to check the links in the description. And stay tuned every few weeks to hear the latest chapters as they are being written and recorded. We hope you enjoyed the story. I'm Chris Herron, and that's it for today's Tall Tale TV.